Okay. Just want to say I wasn't aware of this before, but I want to give a special welcome to Deborah and her new little baby, Jada. So congratulations to Deborah and Mills and Grandma Carmella, new little sister for Halia. That's great to have you with us this morning. Okay, if you've got your Bibles this morning, would you open them up to the book of 1 Corinthians? We've been looking through, if you were here last week, you know we talked about this whole idea and looked at some scripture around the baptism and the Holy Spirit. And this week we're going to continue on from there, I guess, and we're going to be looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit bringing gifts to equip and enable and empower us and to help us in different situations. So we're going to have a look at some different types of gifts and some of the scriptures around spiritual gifts and gifts of the Holy Spirit this morning. Is that all right? Okay. So you would know if you've been following along. I think probably most of you have been around for at least some of it. This is our foundation series, looking at the foundational principles of our Christian faith, the things that we build our faith on, that we need to be, confident in our knowledge of and putting into practice in our life. According to the words of Jesus, I'll turn my clicker on and then it will work. According to the words of Jesus, who said, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock." And by the end of this series, you'll probably be able to quote that passage of scripture from heart. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to start off just having a look at this passage of scripture here. Paul writes, and he's writing to the church at Corinth, and he's addressing a number of questions and things that they had written to him, asking him about. And he says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." He says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit," I think I've got here. "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed." So Paul says, I want you to understand this stuff. I don't want you to be unaware. I want you to know about spiritual gifts. Now the thing about spiritual gifts, we can say a number of things about spiritual gifts, and we're going to look at a range of scriptures, but when we're talking about spiritual gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit in general, there's a couple of things that we can say about them. Firstly, is that they're given by the Holy Spirit. That kind of sounds fairly obvious, doesn't it? Yes? Yeah? Just checking. Don't want to assume too much. Let's have a look at this passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We read on a couple of verses down. It says, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us." And when we're talking particularly about the spiritual gifts that we're going to focus on this morning, it's really important to remember that they come from the Holy Spirit. They're not kind of things that you just kind of have or come from any person in particular, or things that are just kind of... But they come from the Holy Spirit. And that is great for a couple of reasons. One, because the Holy Spirit is perfect, His gifts are perfect, yeah? So they are intended and they are necessary to build up the church of Jesus Christ. That's you and me, yeah? That's us. I tell you what, I'm going to have to make the kids sit at the back, because when they go out, there's like this big empty swathe of seats at the front here and you're all like far away. So let's look at this. Ephesians chapter 4. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians, because we're going to be coming back and parking there a bit, but we're going to look at a couple of verses in Ephesians 4 if you want to flip there as well. So it says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So there's two kind of key things there. One is unity, and the other is maturity. So the gifts of the Spirit are given. God has equipped his church through the Holy Spirit to fulfill all of the facets, the dimensions of the ministry that he had while he was here on the earth. He's given us that role, hasn't he, of continuing on what he began, what Jesus started. He's called us to do the same kind of stuff that he did, yeah? Yeah? Making disciples, teaching them the things that he commanded, going into all the world, doing all that kind of stuff. And Jesus was this, he demonstrated all of these gifts for us. And so now that we are kind of still here in Australia and Wyala in 2017, we are Christ's body here, and so we're supposed to be doing the ministry of Christ's body while we're here. Okay, does that make sense? So he has equipped us with everything. It says we are supposed to be built up into maturity. So in unity, that's why we kind of have this image of the body of Christ, all the parts kind of working together in harmony. Who knows what happens when some parts of your body don't cooperate with other parts of your body? Things don't go so good, right? So there's kind of this unity and cooperation and every different part working together with unity and harmony. But we also have becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So every aspect of the ministry of Jesus is supposed to be evident in the church. Everything that we say characterized Jesus and who he was and the ministry that he had on the earth is supposed to be evident and seen within the church. Now, we know that that's not always the case, don't we? We know that sometimes there are things that we don't get right. There are times when we don't love the way that Jesus loved. There are times when we don't act in the authority that Jesus had. There are times when we don't move in the power of the Holy Spirit the way Jesus did. And so we're growing, we're becoming mature. And this is the purpose and the function of the spiritual gifts, is to build the church up so that we actually can fulfill that ministry, fulfill that mandate that we have to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ. All right? You with me? Okay. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is available to all, and because the gifts come from the Holy Spirit for the building up of the church, it's pretty logical to then go, okay, if the Holy Spirit is available to us all, then the gifts of the Holy Spirit are available to us all as well. Anybody think that's not a logical kind of progression? That kind of makes sense, yeah? Let's have a look at just a couple of little bits that I've just picked out here just to focus on this point. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, to each person, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the benefit of all. So to each person. So Scripture is saying, Paul is writing to us and he's making it very clear that to each person, the gifts of the Spirit are given. To each person, grace is given. To each person, the Holy Spirit is given, the manifestation of the Spirit. What does manifestation mean? This first kind of spiritual gifts that we're talking about, we're going to look at here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at three different types of spiritual gifts. So the first type we have is the manifestation gifts. Well, the word manifestation basically means to make something known, to reveal something, to make something evident or clear. Okay, so when we talk about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the things that the Holy Spirit does that show us that he's there, that he's real. The things that he does and he goes, hey, I'm here. How you going? this is the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit kind of does miraculous stuff, and you kind of go, and you're sitting there and you're thinking, whoa, where did that come from? That was not a normal thing to happen. And we have, okay, this is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit going, I am here. I am real and I am working. All right? Is that clear? So let's read on. Oh, sorry. Manifestation gifts. Number two is ministry gifts. And number three is motivational gifts. So those are the three kinds of gifts that we're going to look at this morning. So firstly, the manifestation gifts. Let's read on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, picking up just from verse 7 again. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. You kind of get this repetitive theme that's coming through that Paul's saying all of these gifts are from the Holy Spirit. To another, verse 10, to another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So the Holy Spirit is the giver of these gifts, and in each situation and each scenario, we have this confidence, this faith that the Holy Spirit will give the right gifts to the right person at the right time. Doesn't that sound good? So the passage that we just read mentions nine different spiritual gifts. And we can kind of group them together into sort of like three subcategories or three types, if you like, that kind of helps us to remember them. The first type is the discerning gifts. The second type is the declarative gifts. And the third type is the dynamic gifts. So the discerning gifts can also be known as perceiving gifts. Declarative gifts can also be known as the proclaiming gifts. And the dynamic gifts can also be known as the power gifts. But you've kind of got to choose whether you want the D's or the P's. You can't sort of like mix and match, all right? Helps us to remember. Okay, so the discerning gifts, what are they? Let's start with those. So firstly, we have the word of knowledge. What is a word of knowledge? Some of you would be familiar with this term. Some of you might not have heard it before. The definition essentially is to know something specific without having learned it through natural means. So this is when the Holy Spirit gives you information about a particular situation or what's going on in the life of a person for a particular purpose, whether it's to speak into that situation and that person, whether it's to pray over that situation and that person. We kind of wait on the Holy Spirit to help us to know what we do with that. But there's this time. There's times when the Holy Spirit just kind of, something we just know. It's not because we heard it from someone else who was talking and, you know, whatever, or just because we've, figured it out or put the pieces together. But the Holy Spirit comes at times, will just drop a piece of information into your mind about a person or about a situation that there's no way that you could have known by natural means. An example of this is John chapter 4. Remember when Jesus goes and talks to the woman of Samaria at the well? And Jesus says, go and get your husband. And she says, I have no husband. And he says, you're right, you've had five husbands and the bloke you're with now is not your husband. How did he know that? Okay, obviously the woman's response is, I can see, sir, that you're a prophet. Okay. understatement. All right. Jesus has this word of knowledge. The Holy Spirit has given him information about her situation that is specific information, that is detailed information. This is not just like you've had lots of husbands. This is like, this is how many. Like specific and detailed information in order that he can minister to her, speak into her life, and bring transformation and change. All right, this is to build her up. Jesus doesn't go about condemning her and pulling her down and giving her a hard time. He doesn't use this information to beat her over the head with it, but to bring healing and restoration and hope and transformation through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's a word of knowledge. Number two, discerning of spirits, or distinguishing between different kinds of spirits. Now, this is different from, some people might tell you that they have a gift of discernment. Now, this passage of Scripture does not say a gift of discernment. And Scripture, as far as I can tell, I've not read anywhere about a gift of discernment. Now, there might be some people who are fairly discerning kind of people, but generally when people, in my experience, when people say they have a gift of discernment, it's far more related to being critical and judgmental. Okay, what we're talking about here is a discerning of spirit. So to be made aware of the presence or influence of demonic spirits. Let me give you an example of this in Acts chapter 16. You can jot that down and have a look at that later. But this is the story of Paul as he comes into the marketplace, and there's a girl with a fortune-telling spirit. And she begins to speak up and say, these men come in the name of the Lord, sort of thing. And you know what she says is not wrong. But Paul looks at her and immediately knows the source of where this is coming from and casts the demonic spirit out of her and sets her free, which causes all sorts of complications and problems for them later on. But there's this immediate sense of the discernment of spirits. There's the discerning of what is the source behind what is being spoken and what is going on. And this is that gift of the Holy Spirit to be able to get to the heart of an issue. Sometimes it is very difficult for us naturally in our own sense to work out. You know, stuff happens all the time. And sometimes we can kind of go, well, I'm not sure if I'm just having a bad day, or if there's just kind of some sort of oppression from the enemy, or if this is sort of a spiritual attack and I need to stand up and pray against it. Pray for this gift of spiritual of discerning of spirits, that the Holy Spirit would reveal to you how to pray into your situation. And whether, you know, and what to pray and that sort of thing, to be aware of this presence or the influence of demonic spirits. Okay? Third discerning gift is a word of wisdom. So a word of wisdom is a divine answer or solution for a particular event. So this is not necessarily specific information, but this is wisdom. You know, the difference between knowledge and wisdom. I often heard this analogy, which really helps me to distinguish between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in your fruit salad. Okay, so wisdom, I guess, is the application of knowledge, the ability to make wise decisions, to know the right thing to say at the right time. This is what we call a word of wisdom. It might be really dramatic. It might be as simple as having the right words in a particular situation. In Matthew 22, the reference we've got there is when the Pharisees are questioning Jesus about whether or not they should pay taxes to Caesar. Most of us will be familiar with that passage of Scripture, and Jesus kind of gives that great answer, you know, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, you know, and give to God what is God's. And this is, you know, this kind of supernatural wisdom of the Holy Spirit. They thought they had him dead to rights. They thought whatever answer he gives, we've got him. You know, somebody will be upset with him no matter which way he says. But there's this wisdom that Jesus has to give the right answer that comes through the Holy Spirit. And this is the kind of thing in a word of wisdom. Okay, So those are the three discerning or perceiving gifts. Next, we have the declarative gifts. These are the speaking gifts, the proclaiming gifts. So firstly, we have prophecy. A prophecy is a message of encouragement from God through a person to another person or persons. Okay? Now, I say a message of encouragement because that is what Scripture teaches us that prophecy is about. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3 says, "The one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort." Now, this is not saying that every word of prophecy is going to, you know, we're not talking about just saying things that please people. It's not just always about, you know, oh, you know, God's happy with you. You know, of course that there are times when what we receive isn't easy to receive. At times when we have prophetic words, it can be challenging. It can be one of the, you know, at times God will say things that will be challenging us to step up or to change something or do something different, and that's never easy. But spiritual, the prophecy is always about building up and not pulling down. It's always about encouraging, putting courage into somebody rather than discouraging, taking courage out. Yeah? So we talked a lot about prophecy. I won't dwell on this one too much today. We don't have too much time to go into lots of detail. But second declarative gift that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is tongues. Now, so this is a message from God in a language unknown to the person through whom the message comes. Now, he's talking about something different here than we talked last week a little bit about tongues, and this that the gift of tongues is something that we receive with the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a way of praying and communicating to God. That's between us and God, and we don't understand it and other people don't understand it, but it's a way of praying and connecting with God. And here is, I guess, distinguishing or differentiating another aspect where the Holy Spirit inspires somebody to bring a message that is for somebody else, a message that is for the church or individuals within the church in the context of worship and in the context of the meeting together. And the Holy Spirit inspires somebody to deliver a message to the church given in tongues. Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. It says, "What shall we say then, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up." Now, in this kind of tongues, it comes, I guess, kind of pairs with the next gift, which we're going to get to in just a second, which is the gift of the interpretation of tongues. But this is, I guess, my understanding of speaking in tongues and how it differentiates from this gift. And Paul, in a couple of verses later, in verse 28, he's saying, "If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God." And he goes on in verse 39 and 40. He says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way." So it seems to me that Paul is differentiating between this message that is given to edify and build up the church in tongues, which requires interpretation, is a different thing to speaking in tongues, which is, remember what he said, just speak to himself and to God if there's no interpreter. So there's this different kind of concept that's going on here. We still have our personal prayer language where we can talk to God, we can pray to God, and Paul says, don't forbid that. Don't stop people from doing that. Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. So, but we're looking at this context of in the worship service. So then we kind of come to then the third declarative gift, which is the interpretation of tongues. And that is the understanding and expressing the thought or the intent of the message in tongues. Now, has anybody here ever heard this in operation? Someone's given a message in tongues and someone's interpreted it? A few of you have. For those of you who have, sometimes you might remember cases where, you know, it kind of almost seemed difficult, like maybe the message in tongues was really long and then the interpretation kind of was short. Something's anyone ever kind of, or vice versa, you know, and it would be really easy to kind of go, oh, well, obviously that was wrong then, because, you know, it kind of, you know, they should sound the same length and have the same intonations or, you know, whatever it might be. But we kind of get we've got to make sure that we don't confuse translation with interpretation. And sometimes we can, when we're talking about interpretation of tongues, we're not necessarily talking about a word-for-word kind of translation, but we're talking about an understanding and expressing the thought or the intent behind the message in tongues. Does that make sense? Yep, cool. I've got scripture here. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 5 says, "He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may be edified." This is an interesting one. So it almost kind of sounds a little bit like Paul is saying that prophecy is better than speaking in tongues, yeah? Kind of sounds a little bit like that. Of course, we've got to understand that he's talking about in the context of a meeting, in the context of a worship service where people are gathered together. And so he says prophecy, and he talks about this in some other bits through chapter kind of 12 and also in 14. He talks about prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues because prophecy, people can understand. Prophecy can build people up, and prophecy can edify people in the context of a church service. And if I speak in tongues to you, and if we all kind of came to church and we just kind of started speaking in tongues, if I got up here and preached a message and I spoke in tongues the entire time, how many of you would go away feeling edified or built up? You don't understand what I'm saying. But he says, so he says, in this context, in the context of worship, when you're meeting together, when your purpose is to encourage one another and to build one another up, prophecy is greater than tongues unless there's an interpretation. So even in that context, even in the context of when we worship together, speaking in tongues is of equal value if there's an interpretation that people can be built up and edified. Yeah? All right. So dynamic gifts, power gifts. Firstly, faith. So this gift of faith is not just talking about like our faith in Christ for our salvation. This is talking about a supernatural impartation of belief and confidence for a specific situation. So I don't know if you've ever kind of been in a situation where things just kind of seemed impossible. But somehow, in spite of it all, you had this peace and this confidence that somehow God was going to work it all out. This is this gift of faith from the Holy Spirit. Gifts of healing. I don't think we need to talk too much about healing, but gifts of healing is supernatural provision of divine help, whether it's physical healing, whether it's emotional healing, whether it's healing of a mental health. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Anybody know something that's not covered by that? No. It's pretty inclusive, isn't it? Every kind of disease, every kind of illness, casting out evil spirits. So we're talking about spiritual freedom and restoration. God has won the victory over all of it. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean every time we pray we see miraculous healing, but what it means is that we can have confidence that there is nothing that is too hard for God to do. There is no situation that we go, well, there's no point praying into this because God can't fix that. Okay? And number three in the dynamic gifts is the working of miracles, divine intervention that alters our natural circumstances. I don't know if you've ever kind of been in that situation. You can probably relate to this when you're just things just worked out. And you just knew that somehow, somewhere, the Holy Spirit had been working behind the scenes to put things in order, to get things right. Things were prepared before you got there. Whether it was kind of a job, or you know, a new house, or you know, whatever it might be, you know, somewhere, you know, moving to a new city, and God just kind of, the right things just seem to fall into place. It's good when that happens, isn't it? This is the working miracles. This is this kind of, you know, and all kinds of things. But it's this divine intervention that changes stuff in the natural world that we can't, you know, just kind of explain away. But we give credit to the Holy Spirit doing what we can't do. Okay, so this is the manifestation gifts. Okay, the gifts of discernment, gifts of declaration, and gifts of and dynamic gifts, gifts of power. So we look at different types of gifts. That's manifestation gifts. Secondly, we have ministry gifts. And this is where we kind of come to what we're looking at before in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, some people will tell you that some of these gifts still operate today and others were just for the establishment of the early church, you know, and then we kind of don't need them anymore. Especially people talk about the gift of apostles in that respect and often prophets as well. But I kind of read this passage of Scripture and I kind of go, well, Holy Spirit is saying through Paul that all of these gifts are given so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Anybody like to suggest that the church is there yet? No, I didn't think so. Okay, so if these gifts are given to the church to build it up, to be perfect and until we're fulfilled and basically look like Jesus, then we still need them, don't we? We still need them because we still need more building up. We still need more maturing. We still need more growing, okay? And we need to see every one of these gifts in service within our church, within our church congregation, yeah? Does that make sense? So these gifts. Now, it's interesting that when we read Corinthians, we talked 1 Corinthians 12, there was kind of like a different way that he talks about gifts. And when we come to these ministry gifts, it doesn't really sound like different things that he's kind of giving to people, but it sounds like people that he's giving, doesn't it? He says he gave the apostles. He gave the prophets. It doesn't say he gave a gift of apostleship or a gift of prophecy. It says he gave apostles, he gave prophets, he gave evangelists, gave pastors and teachers to the church. And when we look at this and we talk about these as people that God has put within our church to help build us up. Now we read in at the beginning, looked at Ephesians 4, just a few verses before this in 7, it says, to each one he gave grace as he apportioned it. And in my experience, when I talk to people and I look at people, there are some who say, well, these are only kind of leadership gifts. There's only certain people that have these gifts, and then their job is to kind of like equip all the ordinary Christians, if you like. And I kind of look at this in the context of the whole chapter and the context of what we know about spiritual gifts and about the Holy Spirit. And I look at my experience when I talk to people and I see these gifts. I don't remember ever really talking to somebody where I didn't see one of these gifts or the potential for one of these gifts in some capacity. Now, it doesn't always look the same, and it's not always evident or worked out to the same degree, to the same capacity, in the same way. You know, it's kind of according to God's grace, if you like. We function in different ways in various degrees, according to God's grace, according to our spiritual maturity, and even in the expression of that gift according to our personality and who God's called us to be. Not every evangelist is kind of the loud extrovert, talking all the time kind of person. All right? I've met people with a strong gift of evangelism who are not the kind of just go up to some random person on the street and start a conversation about Jesus. But when you get them kind of, you know, talking to their neighbours, you know, and they've got this heart and this passion for the people that they're talking to and they're rubbing shoulders with in their workplace and they're bumping into in their house, and they know their next door neighbor's having issues with their teenagers, and they're sharing with them about Jesus, and you know, in this kind of this different way. So gifts are expressed in different ways, and God works through each one of us and who He's created us to be. Okay. These gifts are given by God and recognized or released by the church. Acts chapter 13, we have a great example of this with Barnabas and Saul. It says, in the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. There are times when people will kind of want to put their hand up and say, hey, you need to listen to me because I'm a prophet. Or hey, you know, you should do what I say because I'm an apostle and I've got this ministry and blah, blah, blah. I don't see things functioning that way too much in the Holy Spirit. This is what I see in Acts 13. We say God equips and appoints people with gifts to do functions, and the people of God recognize that and release them to do what God has called them to do. And this is so much better. And there is so much more unity and harmony when the church, when we recognize and release people to function and minister according to their gifts. Okay? Just to give you, I haven't got a lot of time to go into detail about each one of these. Some of them you would know, some of them if you're not sure about, you can kind of look up some information or come and talk to me. But apostles are needed. Apostle is a word that literally means a sent one. So someone who is sent out. So when Paul says he's an apostle of Jesus Christ, it means he was sent by Jesus Christ. It's actually the word missionary comes from the same word as the word apostle. That's someone who is sent out with the message of the gospel. So apostles are needed in our church to govern. Prophets are needed in our church to guide. Evangelists gather. Pastors guard. And teachers ground us in the word of God. Okay, so that's a really quick look at the ministry gifts. We also have motivational gifts. Now, these are the things that God has put within each and every one of us from birth. These are the things that we're passionate about. These are the, when we talk about our gifts and our talents and using what we have and who we are for God, we're talking about our motivational gifts. And the interesting thing about motivational gifts, and we're going to look at a scripture in just a minute that talks just about this, but we have a choice about how we use them. Because God doesn't kind of just give them for a moment and then sort of and take it back. These are things that He's equipped and given to us as His children, because we believe that God created us from the womb, yeah? So He's created us to be who we are. And we can choose how we use that. And there are a lot of people in our world today who have these motivational gifts that are given by God, and they don't even know that what they have is a gift from God. And they're using it for themselves. And one day, They're going to have to give an account of how they use their gift. All right, so Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8, it says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." So we have some examples here of some different kinds of motivational gifts. Now, things that we see in evidence in people who are both believers and unbelievers. Most of us would have come across teachers and leaders and people who are good at making money who are not believers, yeah? So we have these kind of gifts and talents and things that we have. You know, you can be someone who is financially fantastic and you just have this potential to make money, however it might be. And God has designed you that way to build up his church. But you have a choice about whether you sow into the church or sow into your own kingdom, the God's kingdom or your own. You might be a great teacher, and you can just kind of get a job as a teacher in a school or as a, you know, university lecturer or whatever, and you might be the greatest teacher the world has ever known. But God gave you that gift to build up the body of Christ, to teach and to ground people in the Word of God. There's all kinds of different examples. Leaders, you know, our world is full of people who have this gift of leadership. Okay, and often we see them in politics, or you know, we see them in positions where they have this capacity to bring people with them to, you know, and God designed that for his church, for them to be leaders within his church. Okay, so these are gifts that can and should be developed, but not for our own gain or for our career advancement, but gifts that should be developed in order to bless and serve the body of Christ, in order to build it up. Yeah? Okay. So I've got one last thought. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he's talking, this is just kind of after he's talked about the body, and he said, you know, some of you are hands and some of you are feet and some of you are like the pancreas of the church and some of you are like the smelly armpit and, you know, whatever, I don't know. We're all different kind of parts of the body, right? And he says, just because you're not the same as that person doesn't mean that you don't have value and that you don't have worth. And he starts talking about spiritual gifts. And he says, you don't all have the same spiritual gifts. You're not all prophets. You're not all pastors, you know. And he says in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "Now eagerly desire the greater gifts." Okay, what are the greater gifts? They are all great. Good answer. That's right. If we want to start elevating one gift above another, we've got to say, well, which of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is inferior? Would we really say that any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are inferior? We wouldn't, would we? All of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are perfect because God is perfect. So what is Paul trying to say? What is Paul trying to encourage us to eagerly desire? I want to suggest to you this morning, as we're closing, that the greatest gifts that we're supposed to be eagerly desiring are the ones that are needed in the situation in which we find ourselves. The greatest gift is the one that is needed right here and right now. If somebody is sick, then the greatest gift is healing. If somebody doesn't know what's the right decision to make, then the greatest gift is the gift of wisdom. Do you know what I mean? So this is what we kind of have. We have access to all of these amazing gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we don't have to go, well, just hang on a minute, because, you know, Jonathan's got this amazing gift of healing, and I'll go and find Jonathan and he'll come and pray for you because you're sick. Or, you know, you don't have to go, well, you know, I can't think of any examples right now, sorry. But we can go, I'm here and I've got the Holy Spirit, because all of the gifts come from the Holy Spirit. And so whatever gift is needed in this situation, the Holy Spirit is able to provide. And if we stop and we say, Holy Spirit, we need this gift in this situation. We need to know the right decision to make. We need to hear your voice. We need to have a message from you for this situation. Whatever the situation might be, we can say, Holy Spirit, come and bring your gifts. And to be eagerly desiring that, to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. And that can be a scary thing. That can be a scary thing where we've kind of got to step out in faith, to be willing to, at times, be willing to make a mistake and get it wrong. Because sometimes that happens. Because none of us yet kind of are perfect. And even when we hear from God perfectly, at times we kind of can sometimes mess it up in how it comes out of our mouth, can't we? In speaking, or mess it up in how we act on that when we hear from God, and then we kind of, you know, if Scripture is full of those kind of examples, and, you know, Abraham had this amazing promise from God and he kind of still managed to mess it up when it came to actually the outworking of the whole Isaac and Ishmael thing. And, you know, anyway, we can go on. But we need to understand and recognize that the Holy Spirit is able to meet our needs in the situation where we find ourselves. And he says, God says he's prepared to work through you and work through me if we're willing to desire and seek him and his ministry and allow him to work through us. So we have these gifts to build one another up, not for our own selfish gain, but to build up and encourage and strengthen our brothers and sisters and part of the church. And everybody has access through the Holy Spirit. Eagerly desire to see the Holy Spirit function in and through you in the way that he decides is best. And I tell you what, that will be good for our church. Can we pray? Father God, we thank you that you are the giver of every good gift. Father God, we thank you for the equipping and empowering and enabling of the Holy Spirit. God, we thank you that you have equipped us with everything that we need. Lord, all the fullness of your strength and your power dwells within us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that you would help us to understand the reality of what is available to us through the Holy Spirit, and to begin to pray and to seek you for the release of that in the ministry and the work of our church. God, we pray that you would build up our church, Lord, through your Holy Spirit working and ministering as we allow you to do so, as we allow you to work through us in ministering these gifts to the body of Christ. Lord, our desire is that we would be built up in unity and the knowledge of Jesus and into maturity, that we would attain the full measure of Jesus Christ and his ministry. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Andrew. Come and lead us in a song as we finish this morning.